Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Antioch Community Church Wichita feed for this last Sunday, December 27th of 2020. Hallelujah and amen. And we are so glad you're here. If you're family, good morning, y'all. Love you. Hope you had a great Christmas. If you're a guest today, we just want to say we're honored that you're here with us. We believe that God is doing something great here. We believe that what happens here changes the world, and we're just glad to have you here. And so welcome, good morning. I pray that you this finds you in good tidings of this year as we come to an end. And this morning we're gonna do something a little bit different. As you can see, we're kind of laid back here. I'm on the couch and next to my fleeting Christmas tree here that only has a few more days left of life. And what our heart wanted to do is, we have so many things starting to stir for next year, and really excited about getting to that. But I think it would be kind of a travesty if we didn't stop and really take a look back at 2020, because there are so many things that we need to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus with, and listen and talk out and walk through and heal from and thank him for. It was just so many things. And so I wanted to give you a heads up. We've distributed what's just called the 2020 Reflection Guide. And so hopefully you've gotten these. We sent them out via email, via message, as far as like SMS messages. We sent it out in multiple different ways. It's on our website if you want to go. And it's just a sweet guide that one of our sister churches in the Antioch Movement, Epicenter in California, just came up with. This just a great way to just kind of process through the year and then really just kind of come in with some peace with the Lord. And so we'll pray that you will use those, and also as individuals and as families, and that you will be blessed by that as you process over what has gone on this year. And so here's what I love and continue to love about this church, and I've said it from the beginning, I'll say it till my end, but is this. It's like I'm pretty sure that we are built for seasons of hardship. Now, if you don't know, if you're new, our church has spent a lot of time battling out and taking on, first and foremost, some very heavy issues over the years. People breaking free of just just legacies of brokenness and addictions and abuse and mental illness and, you know, divorces and all of these things, these heavy things that so many people deal with. We've always tackled that head on. And so over the years, that has done some amazing things and some hard things. It'll beat you up when that is the heart is of what you're going after. But at the same time, it also does something. It starts to change your character. It starts to grow you in ways that couldn't have happened ever. And that's true for anybody who has been through numerous hard things in your life. It really is odd how those breath-stealing, out of your chest moments in your life, how God uses them and how God can use those things in your life to build you into people that you never could have become without them. And so we just say amen to that. And sometimes it's amen with a bloody lip, but we say amen. And so we're overcomers. And so as we moved into this time of 2020, I kept thinking, and I feel like the Lord was highlighting to me over and over again, we were made for not just this year, but what's going to come out of this year. And I think he's speaking some pretty amazing things in that. The bigger question is, beyond for myself, is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God has created us to be overcomers, or you know, it's just something that we're trying to just get out of by the seat of our pants? And I hope that's not the case, because I don't think that that's the heart of God. But there's some crazy things that have happened this year for the good. We had launched new house churches this year. Our first D school that started last year came to completion. We finished it, and I say props to you students who are in that first class, because 3 months of that were online. That was probably not the ideal situation. We also, unfortunately, missed out on our going overseas in our trip that we had planned to Russia. But God still worked and moved, and people graduated, and we celebrated them this summer. And so super great. We started our second school year of D-School students with just as many as last year, and it was been amazing so far. We learned how to become a streaming church overnight. You know, the Lord really, wow, that's been a journey. And thank you for being patient with us. If we've tried to figure out how to do things, not just get them done and point a camera in the room, but do them well. So we can, you know, just really offer something to y'all just in the connection with Jesus and with the church. Our pastor Jimmy here, Jimmy Hudson, came on full time by the grace of God financially. God has carried us through this year. And thank you so much again for those of you who have been giving faithfully and just biblically walking out what it is. We've also been through some hard things this year. Obviously, we've missed a number of months not being able to meet in the same room and be together, which I know is hard. I think some of you introverts are still holding out like this is your dream scenario, but those days are coming to an end, beloved. You know, we lost Miss Tammy, my mother-in-law, and one of the founders of this church. We have some breath-stealing diagnoses through some of our family this year, people that have come down with COVID, lost friends, dealt with just a lot of sickness and all of these things. But the beautiful thing is Jesus has been in the middle of both of those things equally, the good and the hard, because in the end, in the kingdom, we come to realize that what we think is good and hard are actually all beneficial for us if we would fall into the heart of Jesus for what's going on. And so we spent most of our time this year just preaching and teaching through, you know, walking through the foundations of faith, and that was on purpose. I believe it's kind of like taking a ride on an airplane, and as you're cruising, all of a sudden the airplane begins to crash. And I know it sounds a great story. I always have great stories, right? You know, the airplane's going down, and all of a sudden, you know, the stewardess comes on. She's like, "Hey, I'd like to tell you now about how to fasten your seatbelt." Well, by this time, you should have known. You should have had your seatbelt on. You should have been paying attention before. And the flip side of that is like, if same plane, you're going down, and all of a sudden the pilot gets over and on the intercom, and you're going down, and he says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know that the temperature in our destination is 74 degrees. It's nice outside." And I can imagine your thoughts and my thoughts for that. You'd kind of be like, "Who cares, bro? We're right now. We're dealing with what we are dealing with right now." And so our right now scenario to go through this, if I can call it a crash, of 2020 is this, what we had was going to carry us through, what we have learned, what we know about Jesus. And we needed to focus on what was going on, how to be faithful, how to hold on and do what we did. And so that's why we taught that way. And I think it was beneficial. And I know it was beneficial for me. I remember the first night of the shutdown back in March. I think it was March 7th, was a Saturday, into the 8th, I believe was Sunday. And it was my first time up here. I think we pulled a 24-hour shift trying to get everything working. And I remember I said something on that first sermon that night on our first stream only, and it was something along the lines of, maybe this is exactly what the church needed to rise up out of our slumber. And the more I said that throughout the year, and I don't know how that fell on your ears, sometimes it felt odd to say it, but in my spirit, I really knew, and you can see as we're just recapping today, we're sorting out 2020, is this, like, it's really true. Like, there are just some big things in the heart of men and women that couldn't have been broken off in any other way besides losing so much or having so much to have to trust into the Lord for. And I think that's exactly right. And so as God's people, I just say this, we don't just simply get by through these things. We don't find any biblical text for just run and hide and you will be okay. It just doesn't really how it goes. God's people not only just survive, but we thrive in the middle of persecution and hard times and hardships and pain. 2 Corinthians 4:7-11, the Apostle Paul talking says, "But we have this treasure of jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." If you look at that, you know, this is just the Apostle Paul talking about the seasons they were in, and I think that just lays over for us as believers. We don't stop. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes we want to stop. Sometimes we want to fall over. Sometimes we want to feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we want to be overwhelmed by what's going on. And I'm not saying we don't go through things that do that. But in the end, through Jesus, as we carry this stuff in our bodies for the glory of Christ, we are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken, struck down. We are not destroyed. Do you know where you are right now if you're listening to this year? Right now in your home this morning, you're not destroyed. You're still there. The glory of God either is already in you, surrounding you, or he's knocking at your door asking for you to open the door to come in. And so reason why I say this and why we're going through the sorting out of 2020 today is this, is one of the biggest obstacles to living all in lives is randomness. So all in lives being not just believing in Jesus, not just knowing about him, but being his, being disciples, which is the biblical definition of, you know, these disciples of true followers of Jesus. And the biggest, one of the biggest perplexing things that I found that really becomes an obstacle for us is randomness. Randomness over and over and over and over again, not having purpose, not purposely learning, not gleaning from what's happening. And so, Psalms chapter 90, verse 12 has this. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Yes, Lord, we have things to learn every year. But I'll tell you this, I think this year especially, even more so, we have more to learn because we've gone through more that we need to pay attention to. And so that's the heart of this today, just a small, short devotion. And I just want to reach out to you as a person and as the church and as our family, people we dearly love, to myself, my wife, my kids. Let's not just make it through this. I truly believe that one of the biggest tragedies that will come out of our lifetime is not COVID, is not, you know, upheaval and some of the destruction of American democracy as it is, all those things that are going on. I think it's for us just to make it through with Jesus and then not have it affect us in any way. This should affect everything about you. What's gone on this year and how God has replied and how he stepped in, it should affect you. It should affect everything about how you see the world and the goodness of God and how you praise him and thanks. And so I just want to list out, talk about these four things this morning, just in a devo for you guys as you break down this year. Again, please get into those reflection guides or just spend time with Jesus on your own without the reflection guide, but just to listen and to glean and to learn and to praise him and to just get everything you can out of 2020. Jesus, make it be so. And so out of these four things, here's just number one that I just think it's essential that we do. And it's just to give him thanks. Give him thanks. We need to bring light to the good things he has done. And sometimes, as you know, and you've probably learned this year, that it's super hard to do sometimes when you are so overwhelmed, you are so anxious, you are so perplexed, you're so worried about things. It's hard to give him praise. But I'm going to tell you this, a heart of thankfulness from somebody in the middle of the worst of times is a sure indicator of somebody who's going to walk in balance, walk in the goodness of God. And you see that all through the martyrs of the church over the years and the apostles, no matter what was happening, they would give God thanks. Because as they give God thanks, something happens. Number one, you're just speaking truth. But number two, you are steering your own ship to see the goodness of God in all things. We are not called to be complainers. We're not called to be people who are hopeless and all these things. Sometimes our heart and our minds, they will want to go with the world because they are from the flesh, and we have to reel them back in through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that happens largely from just giving God thanks and worship in our verbiage and prayer, speaking well of the Lord and what he's doing in our life and times. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ever find it ironic of how the hardest times of our lives, if we see them correctly as we grow in Christ Jesus, actually turn out to be some of the biggest times of thanksgiving and praise? you know, done funerals lately in my own family. And it's so weird once you have the eye of a disciple, the eye of heaven, the eye of kingdom, how much praise comes when your heart is literally just wrenched with grief over something. It's something that comes with being filled by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you this, that if you are not a follower of Jesus and have not surrendered your life to him, you're missing. You are literally handling things on your own that you were never called to handle on your own. God carries us through, and it leaves us with this sweet praise in our mouth, even when we have, as we said earlier, a bloody lip. Every day, we need to be giving God thanks, I think, especially in seasons like 2020, and giving him thanks every single day of your life, giving him thanks for the people around you. I mean, listen, we've learned what it is to a new level of reality that we're not used to, that we could lose people. We could lose people close to us, and we don't know the number of our days. We knew that before, but now we've seen it in a lot of cases, and it's a harsh reality, but we need to give God thanks for having your folks in your home and your lives every day. Give him a heart of thanks for weird things like missing people. If you miss being around people, well, guess that means that you greatly love people and you're loved by people. Give God thanks for that. Give God thanks for keeping you alive, protecting your homes through the season. Some of you have missed COVID altogether, missed riots, missed all these. Some of you have gone through those kind of things. And I'm just going to say, you're still here. You're still with us. You're still breathing. That means God has purpose for your life. He deserves thanks. And, he's been protecting his church, and for the sweetness of God on and on and on again, we need to give God thanks. Now, reminds me, I have hanging on the wall here in the building, I don't know if some of you've seen this, but it's a document. It's a document that we received. This hangs in the war room. It's a document that hangs on the wall that I framed from Qatar Airlines when we were in Southeast Asia a couple years ago on mission, and it literally says, "Dear to volcanic ash and activity, flights from this airport are suspended. We will help you where we can." Let me tell you this. Our team, I was leading the team. There's 18 of us from Antioch, Wichita, overseas in the nations. And on the way home, we're not paying attention. And all of a sudden, we start hearing reports about volcanic activity. And so we're literally running to the airport trying to beat this volcano to get home, and all of a sudden all this stuff happens. Our flights get canceled, and it literally leads us on a 60-hour journey of trying to find our way home. Now, we didn't sleep, we smelled, and we could easily have scalped somebody or, you know, bit somebody's ear off in anger. But if you would have asked me on that day, how are things going? I don't know if you would have liked most people's response, but what I did was as I got out of that, and I can see in hindsight, this little, I call them sacred cows sometimes, from our trips. But every time I look at that, I giggle now, because God was so good to us, and he was with us so richly that way. And he got us home, and we had to take buses and go to airports and countries we weren't even supposed to be around in the part of the world. I mean, it was just nuts, and it was so hard. But looking back on it, man, I could see God all over it. And this is a part of this thankful thing. You need to set up some sacred cows in your lives, not like golden idols and things, but remembrances of when we went through whatever it is you've gone through, how sweet the Lord was. When you went through 2020 and dealing with COVID and losing a job and worrying about family and all this craziness, anxiety through the roof, depression coming up, you need to have something that reminds you of how the goodness of God was with you, because I guarantee you what, it was there. He was there in all things. Thank you, God, for what's going on. Thank you for using COVID in a way that's been beneficial. And so some of the most powerful people I know in the kingdom are people who can praise him and thank him through everything and anything. That's a sure indicator. And I'm not talking about acting like a fool and faking it and smiling through everything. But I mean, that has nothing to do with this. This is giving God thanks on purpose, even when you don't feel like it. And the weirdest, craziest thing is, by the power of the Spirit, when you give God thanks, guess what? He changes and shifts your heart. He shifts the atmosphere of your life. Here's the second thing we're going to talk about today through this reevaluating and going back over and reflecting on 2020 is we need to tend to our heart. Many of you know the Tending Your Heart series stuff that we've done around here by the Buchers, part of the Antioch movement. You can go on our website to our tool section and find some more of the Tending Your Heart stuff. Once in a while, we'll offer a Tending Your Heart class, but I'm just talking specifically like dealing with your heart right now. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Listen to that. We have to tend to our hearts. We have to do some work. And I will say this in 2020, I would think that there are a number of us who are probably more affected by this than we let on. You know, I've talked to several people and they're like, it really hasn't affected me. But I think, and maybe that's true. I'm not saying I'm probably one of those people. But what I am saying is there are some things that have happened in our hearts that maybe when we're in battle mode and we're in overprotect mode, whatever's going on, that we don't see some of the ramifications that are going on in our spirit. I also think the opposite is happening, is some of us might not be as affected as much as we think we are, and we've let our mind just blow up everything because we're freaking out about it. And some of us probably have no clue. But listen, you have to be on purpose about tending your heart. There are things that happened this year that you need to process, talk through, pray through, seek the Lord for healing on. And some of those things are just asking Him for clarity, sitting down quietly between you and Jesus and just asking Him to fill your heart with clarity about, God, what happened to me this year? What happened to us this year? God, is there anything, Lord Jesus, that's in my heart that we need to deal with, that is broken, that I am bearing, that I need to repent from? I mean, over and over, just asking the Lord, the author of you, the creator of you, what's going on inside of your heart? Because A, you might not know how to deal with it, and B, you might not know that it's there. So, and then from that place, you ask Him to bring healing, literally per thing. I challenge you, sit down, deal with every one of these hurts and every one of these problems in your heart, and just ask Him to bring healing. And we believe the God of heaven brings healing. Speak against lies. And so maybe the enemy's implanted lies in your spirit, lies in your head this year about, you know, you're no good, or, man, God doesn't really have you. He's not good. You know, where was this? Where's your job? Putting in your heart, maybe even about how you feel about other people in church because of their political ideologies, all these kind of things. Whatever lies you have about yourself, about the church, about people in your life, listen, you need to renounce those things. Literally get on top of it and speak the name of Jesus over those things. And it's not about how you feel. I don't know how many times we could say that. It is completely about what God says is truth. So what God says about you is truth, not how you feel about you. You know, He is the one that sets the bar, because through the blood of Jesus, He's the only way we can reach the bar. And so you need to speak those things. Lord, I just totally put down, Lord, forgive me. I renounce this spirit of fear or feeling that I'm not good enough or feeling like I'm alone and I'm all by myself, and start speaking what the Word of God says in that. God, you've never left me nor forsaken me, Lord. I'm a new creation of Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. You need to speak these things. It's not trying to proclaim it and, you know, name it and claim it. What you're doing is you are calling out truth and reminding your own self. You need to tend your heart that way. If there's anything you need to repent for, repent and ask for forgiveness and leave those things in the dust. And so, I remember just dealing with some things in my own life. When Jen and I were first married all those years ago, almost 23 years ago, I remember at Christmas time, I was on the phone speaking with my mom and with my grandma when she was still alive, my Bobby, who lived in California, and they were in California doing Christmas. And because of the issues that I've had in my life with family and all the dumb mistakes on my part and their part and how long I lived on my own already up to that point, I always have this watershed thing, like, you know, things don't bug me, you know, I don't care about, you know, being, you know, not having family around anymore. And so that was my thought process. So I'm literally on the phone with my mom and my grandma. And I remember that I got on the phone with my grandmother and she started speaking to me, and I just started bawling out of nowhere. Didn't even know why. I mean, literally just bawling. I had to hang up the phone, and I was supposed to be this manly dude in my 20s handling business and having, you know, a watershed moment. Nothing bugs me. It's just like water off my back. And in the end, there were things that I didn't deal with that obviously caught up to me, and they were hidden in my spirit and hidden in my heart. And I just tried to protect myself. And guess what? I ended up being hurt and not knowing I was living that way. I needed to do some tending to my heart. And I have a feeling there's a lot of us that need to do that this year. And listen to this. What we do not deal with in a kingdom way right now will become the walls, the wounds, and the stumbling blocks in our tomorrows. You hear me? There's potential for a lot of brokenness to come out of this year. Can you imagine the levels of all the hurt that were going on before COVID happened, before 2020 happened? All of those things are going to be completely magnified next year. Like we're thinking like 2021 brings in the good days back again. Wrong. We're going to be dealing with the ramifications. There's going to be phrases. Oh, he's got, you know, COVID-itis or, you know, he's mentally, you know, he has PTSD from COVID, whatever you call it. They're going to come up with some names. All these things are going to come about. And listen, as believers, we don't have to give over to that and be victims of that. We can be on top of it and literally end up dealing with it and tending to it now. Have some accountability. Get into counseling. Please get counsel from your house church leaders, best friends, people you're in discipleship with. Man, do the diligent work of tending your heart. And in the, just a sidebar, this isn't another one of our things, but we need to also tend to our witness. I think in our witness, some of us this year, if there's any way, any post, any conversation, any hardened heart where you kind of blew your witness, you need to tend to that as well. I just wanted to leave that as a sidebar. I just felt like God put that in my heart. And I think we might all have some things we need to go back on and think about our witness. So here's the next one after tending to our heart. So we need to learn. We need to literally learn from this year. Lord, we said this from the beginning of the pandemic, God is doing something unique in us in this season, and we don't want to miss it. I literally have these fearful temptations of God. I mean, I just hope we don't go back to the way things were. I hope we don't go back to the things we were. I hope our faith doesn't go back. I hope our dependency doesn't go back. And I think we need to be on purpose and about learning. And we know, like James 1 verses 2 through 4, count it all joy, my brothers, that when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's a process going on where we're going through trials of various kinds, more this year than we've probably ever dealt with, if not ever or in a long, long time. And so he's teaching us something. He's walking us through. There should be things that you have gleaned in your heart this year that you did not glean before. Don't let that just slide. Don't let that just become something that you maybe you revisit in a few years. Learn now. As we reflect and as we seem to glean from what God did, you know, 2020 should have revealed something about two things. Number one, God. What did 2020 reveal to you about him? Was it his goodness? What is it his way of providing when you didn't know how you were going to provide? Was it thing after thing after thing? This year should have revealed something to you about God. Write it down. Give thanks for it. Talk about it with one another. Glean from that. And the other thing is 2020 should have taught something about you. It should have taught us all something about us. What was it? Were they good things? Was I stronger than I thought I would be in a season like this? Was I at peace more than I would have been in the past? Or are they more critical things to kind of look about as we get feedback to ourselves? You know, did you feel like you were focused on the wrong things? Did you feel faithless? Did you feel like you weren't even clinging on to the body of Christ anymore or didn't know where Jesus was? Here's the thing. Those aren't bad thoughts to have in the end if you capitalize on them and learn from it. That's when we go back to tending them and we take them and we beat the living snot out of those lies with the truth. Guess what? If you found this year that you were lacking in faith, guess what? You're still alive. You still have the Holy Spirit of God with you. God will teach you. You will learn. And next time we go through something, we learn a little bit more. But we can't be random about it. Don't you dare be random. Don't we dare be random about what we learned this year. Write it down in the scrolls of your heart. If you fell short, ask God to bring it up in you. And if you were stronger than you thought, then give God thanks, but learn from it. Don't just survive, but learn and grow. And that's really the heart of God's church, that we're not completely crushed. Here's the last one. Get a vision for what's next. And so as we look and we give God thanks, and as we learn, as we tend to our heart, the greatest question always is, now what? Jesus, now what? See, when we need to get back and become the people that are called and equipped to who we need to be. We've had this year of craziness, of calamity. Some of our vision maybe has got put on pause, but we need to get back to becoming the people who we are called to be. Listen, what is it that God is doing in your life that He wants to use this stuff in the middle of this year to move forward and to overcome? Now we have new hope, even more hope for what is coming. As we looked at the scriptures in Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You know what's coming next? Heaven is coming. Hope is coming. We need to look at this year. And if we just sat and went, oh my goodness, what a crummy year, and not moved on to what is next with this present time is not worth even looking at compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. We're men and women of heaven, and we need to start forward thinking again if we haven't, and we need to start moving in that way. And so while we wait for Him, COVID or no COVID, it doesn't matter, we need to engage the kingdom of God more than ever again. We have got to jump back in with all of our hearts. Now listen, seeing the brokenness of this year, seeing the heartache of people this year, seeing your own heartache this year, listen, it should light a fire in all of us in ways that either we haven't had in a while or we've never had. Listen, there is so much suffering. We are the answer. We have the hope of the world. And as we see the brokenness of man, we see the calamity of politics, we see the brokenness of the history of our country, and all, as we look through the world and the nations and people that are starving and people that have died, the millions of people now that have died from COVID, it should stir something in our hearts to say, yes, God, maybe our stadiums being closed for a while and our programs and our music and all these things being shut down have given us a new light into what the real purpose was, and giving us an opportunity to see the things that were getting us off guard, not living for what we're supposed to live for. And I will say this, if it has stirred something in you, what are we going to do about it? If 2020 hasn't shaken your heart for more of the kingdom, something's wrong. And I'm just going to say that directly. If 2020 has not grown our heart for the kingdom of God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We can't look at the depravity and the brokenness and the heartache of the world and not have our heart burn in compassion to be the answer more than ever. If we've seen suffering more than ever, now we should have hope and want to bring the hope. It should let us lay down our idolatry and our garbage and stir our hearts and be on purpose about moving forward. Now more than ever as a church, y'all, listen, what are we going to do about it? We're going to re-engage, and our heart is this now more than ever. We want to make disciples. We want to see not just converts. We want to see men and women come to Jesus and be discipled to see other men and women come to Jesus. We want to step into the dark places. One word that I felt that the Lord was really sharing on my heart this year for us moving forward was literally like this: harvesting from the aftermath. And what does that mean? There's going to be brokenness all over the place. And I think one thing that God is calling us to as a church is that we need to go and watch and bring the harvest of the kingdom from all this brokenness that's going to pop up. Be a people of prayer more than ever, people of worship and who are in the presence of God more than ever, because we've really seen what the world has been like. And I don't want anything else except the presence of God and to be with His people. Heart for the broken, hearts for one another in the church, to have reconciliation, to have unforgiveness be crushed and destroyed. Missions, the nations are calling to us again, and they haven't stopped. Our neighborhood is calling again. It never stopped. House churches, church planting, more than ever. Our game plan moving forward after this year should not be, whoo, man, I made it out of that alive. It should be, I have come through with the overcomer in my heart, Jesus, and we will be the church of Christ in these final days. If this really is the final days, and I'm talking to me and my family, and I'm talking to you and your family, what are we going to do about it? There are a lot of good things before COVID in our family, in our church families. But there was also sleepiness, and there was being stuck in fear. And now moving forward, it's time in Jesus' name to be more bold, or more bold than ever. But it's we want those things to be crushed, and we want to move forward for the kingdom of God. Listen, I am so thankful for you. I really am proud of all of you who have been praying and pressing in, and even those of you who have battled this year. We've all gone through that, and you've pressed in. If you're on here and you never heard of us before or anything like that, but you're wondering about Jesus, I'm proud of you for being here. I'm proud of you for listening. Just know, more importantly than me, God is pursuing your heart, and he's chasing after you. But church, we are unique and wired in a way that people who have learned how to come through suffering. And now I truly believe this is our season. 2021, we had this word in the Antioch movement that you are all should be familiar with. The 2019 and 2020 are going to be years of preparation for the next decade. And what we do in 2020 and 2019 will prepare the way for the next 10 years. Well, guess what? That didn't look anything like we thought it would. Preparation time. Yay. It didn't look like that at all. It looked like, oh my gosh, the world is crumbling. And listen, how we respond in this season, how we've responded over the last 2 years, how we respond next year in relation to 2020 that's happened, I believe it has marked us for what's going to happen. Listen, we're rescuers. We're overcomers. We are not defeated. We will not sit back and just hide in the back of pews. We are the people of God who love God's creation and his people and his heart and his kingdom. And we're gonna grow into this thing. Here's my challenge for you: to take those guides and please, as individuals, just praying through either some of the things we talked about today. This is different material than what's in your reflection guide for the most part. But taking that and seeking the Lord, getting time by yourself, getting time with your spouse and you and the Lord, whatever it is, kids, I'm talking high schoolers, middle schoolers, seniors, everything in between, moms and dads, singles, whatever it is, all of us, let's completely reflect on 2020 and learn, to learn what God has for us before, during, and after this season. God, I just pray for my family, and Lord, we don't want to walk out of this without learning, without being equipped, and without growing through this more than any other way that could have happened. Lord, we don't want to do that. Lord, we don't. God, please hear my cry. Do not let us, Jesus, go back to the way things were. Don't let my heart, God, stir us by your Holy Spirit. Don't leave us alone, Jesus. Prod us, God, that we would be men and women that live for you and not for ourselves, Lord Jesus, that we would grow in dependency, that we know as this world is crumbling still, regardless of COVID, we've seen it is unleashed itself into destruction. Lord, may we rise in this season, no matter what comes against us and our families, and live for the kingdom, because we know that this is not our home. We are citizens, men and women of a new heaven and a new earth, and we are yours. And Lord God, use us in this coming year. Lord, speak to us in dreams and visions. Lord, help us tend our hearts to heal and come out of this stronger than ever. And may your name be glorified above all things. Jesus, thank you for 2020. Thank you for this family. Thank you for these friends that are on here with us. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Make sure to hit those guides and get moving on that and walk in accountability with each other. Love you, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.